When the art day gets rough, you just gotta keep on punching. And here's your Thunder Punch Daily with Jersey Drozd.
Anybody who has listened to the show for any amount of time knows that I typically try to come up with an essay based on my experiences at the art desk, in the art studio, making comics, doing freelance illustration, rather than journal directly about what I'm doing and looking for the reflections during the journaling. I do the journaling off mic, then come to the mic with the reflection, the headline, as it were, right? But this time I'm going to do something a little bit different because I got this weird influx of emails recently from people asking me how to do different things or how I do different things, like how I got started doing freelance illustration, what kind of tools I use at the art desk, what kind of software do I use to achieve different things in the work that I do. And it's just easier for me to talk it out rather than write up an email. I suppose I could do a form or a canned response email that addresses a lot of these questions, but I think that's kind of impersonal. I think it also helps to hear the inflection and tone of my voice as I talk about these things. Text is so cold. And, you know, I'll admit to it. I'll cop to it. I'm lazy. It takes longer for me to type a thoughtful response than to talk out a thoughtful response. That's why I do so much podcasting, because it's actually easier for me to talk about this stuff than to write this stuff. So I got an email from somebody who listens to the stuff that I do, and I didn't see anything in the email that gave me explicit permission to name this person. It was a gentleman, and he had some questions that I thought were actually interesting to document on the show for anybody else who has thought to ask me these in the past. I have been asked this before. I'll just go through these questions one by one and respond to them as best I can. The headline here is art tools, things that I use to make the comics that I make. And I'll throw in this caveat, this disclaimer at the top, like I typically do. It's a good idea to follow lots of artists. As more and more artists are engaging in podcasting or streaming, live streaming their work, I think it's a great idea to follow as many of them as interest you, because everybody's got their own way of doing this thing, and you're bound to discover some new approach or new tool that you never thought to use before just by watching other cartoonists or artists. I know that in my early days as a cartoonist, when I was starting out, before there was live streaming, before there was Twitter, it was a lot harder to figure out what tools you're supposed to use. You had the how-to books, which are good as a starting point. Unfortunately, a lot of the how-to books, by the very nature of being a how-to book, tend to suggest that these are the tools. And I think, oh man, in this day and age especially, there's no canonical group of tools that must be used. There's tools that work for different artists, different styles, different approaches. Some tools tend to work better for some things than others, as we'll explore as I go through these questions. So, okay, question one. This is reading from the email. I use Adobe Photoshop for coloring and editing, but see people praising Manga Studio. Is there an advantage to one over the other? Well, you can guess what my answer would be, is that it depends. It depends on what you want to do. But I can explain why I use both for different things. I tend to not draw in Adobe Photoshop. I use Photoshop for coloring and editing, but never for actual illustration. Why? Because I have a devil of a time getting the kind of lines that I want out of Adobe Photoshop. I use Adobe Photoshop CS5. I also keep a copy of CS4 on hand, which I'll explain why in a moment. But I do want to point people at Lee Shirolis is the artist on a book called Little Guardians, which I'll link to in the show notes at comicsaregreat.com/... Oh, what is this? This is episode 150. comicsaregreat.com/ TPD150 is where you can find the links to what I'm going to talk about today. Little Guardians, I talked with Lee about the art in that book, because his ink lines are just so fluid and silky and beautiful, and he inks in Photoshop. So he said it took some tweaking with the brushes to get him to do what he wanted them to, but He made it happen. So you can use Photoshop for drawing, and a lot of artists do. Dresden Kodak, if I'm not mistaken, by Aaron Diaz, also is drawn in Photoshop, painted in Photoshop. But then a lot of people do enjoy Manga Studio. I love Manga Studio because, A, the lines, the ink lines you get out of it, I find are the closest to drawing on paper that I've ever used. I should say that I am not drawing on a Cintiq or any of those tablets where you draw on a screen. I am drawing on a Wacom. Oh, what is this thing? This is an Intuos 3. It's an older tablet, but it's the ones where it's a tablet on your desktop and you draw on the tablet, and then what you're drawing happens on the screen up above rather than actually drawing on a screen. I'm just drawing on a slate where there's no visual feedback except what I see on my desktop computer. And I just find that I use Manga Studio EX4, one version back now at the time of this recording. 5 is out, and I've heard wonderful things about the pro version of Manga Studio 5. I'll pull the trigger on that pretty soon, I'm sure, and wind up getting that. But 4 is doing pretty good for me. I don't use all of the features in Manga Studio 4. I've been pretty much kind of doing on-the-job training where I leapt into it on a freelance gig last year. This thing called Captain Seriously and the Supermaster Sentinels, which I do for an organization out of Chelsea, Michigan. You can find a gallery of the images on my Google Plus feed. I'll link to that too. But I just dove in and said, hey, let's learn the program while we're working on a gig, because the deadline will force me to not putter around about it and just get the thing done. And what I discovered is, yes, the inking brushes, especially the vector inking brushes, are terrific for capturing really fluid and analog-looking ink lines. I did an episode of the Comics Are Great show with Steve McCraney where he showed me, and this is what really got me to take the leap into Manga Studio, where if you ink on a vector layer with a vector inking brush, which looks like a natural inking brush, you can intersect your lines. Like, let's say you're drawing a character up against a panel border and you draw like the upper arc of the shoulder muscle or the shoulder arc, and you cross over the panel line, and I crossed the line, I'm gonna have to erase. There's this vector eraser, which you can just drag over the line after the intersection, and it will automatically erase up to the point of the intersection of the lines. And I advise you to go check out that Comics Are Great episode, which I will link to in the show notes, where Steve McCraney shows me this, and you can see my jaw drop. And it changed how I draw digitally. But that's one of the major advantages, is vector inking is great. It's really flexible, and editing is super, super easy. And it's vector, so you can export it in a variety of sizes, which is also super nice. But here's the other big one. I use a series of, there's two plugins called the BePelt flatting plugins. There's one called Multifill and one called Flatten. This is why I keep Photoshop 4 around, because the free plugins work with Photoshop 4, but they don't work in Photoshop CS5. In 64-bit mode, you have to purchase a professional version of the plugins, which are, I believe, $100. So I'd rather keep using the free ones for as long as I can, so I keep a version of Photoshop 4 on my machine so I can just launch that to run the flatting plugins. Now, the way the plugins work is it analyzes the image. So you take your black and white image and you create a line art. You have your line art on one layer with a transparent background. You copy that line art onto another layer, put it on a white background, so you have white and black pixels. And the plugin will analyze the image, and wherever there's a closed shape, it will automatically fill it with a color for you. It's just an arbitrary color, which you can then use the magic wand tool to change to whatever color you want it to be. And then you run the flatting plugin. So you run Multifill, adds colors to all the shapes. You run the flatten plugin, and then it extends out all the fills to cover up all of the line work. So you still have your line art on its transparent layer, but underneath, now you have everything pre-flatted for you, and then you just go in with your magic wand tool in Photoshop and convert the flats into the proper flats. So it's like a pre-flatting plugin, which saves a lot of time. It probably cuts, you know, upwards of 2 hours out of my process, because it only takes a few minutes to run that plugin. And if you do this with grayscale line art, that you scan from paper, there's that anti-aliasing thing that goes on where it creates a gray haze around the lines to simulate the way the line bleeds into the paper. The flatting plugin does not cooperate with that bleed, that fading of the line very well. It tends to create some really funky fills and doesn't do it quite as effectively as if the lines are pure black and pure white. Now, you can get around this by using the threshold filter or using levels to convert the line art to pure black and pure white, but you tend to lose a little bit, especially if you use like dry brush effect or like soft inking effects, you'll lose a little bit of detail. And I have spent too much time monkeying around with levels or threshold to get just the precise amount of detail while getting it reduced down to pure black and pure white pixels. Well, with Manga Studio, you can ink like that, and you can even put in some dry brush-ish effects in there, but when it is exported, it is pure black and pure white pixels, and it works terrific with the BPelt flatting plugin. So you can look at that Captain Seriously book I did to see what kind of ink lines you get out of it. Actually, check out Ray Frendon, which I'll also link to in the show notes. Ray Frendon made a bunch of custom brushes for Manga Studio EX4 and Manga Studio 5, and I cannot recommend those enough. It was only a couple bucks for the brush set, but man, oh man, the natural inking brushes are terrific. It really changed the way my work looked. Highly recommend you, if you're going to make the leap into Manga Studio, drop the couple bucks on getting his brushes, and also look at his Tumblr, which again, I'll link to in the show notes, because he draws a lot in Manga Studio, and he achieves some really wonderful, natural-looking ink illustrations. But the next question, do you draw completely digital? If so, what do you use? Well, I just explained, I do draw digitally, but not entirely. It depends on the project. So I've got this project that I'm hoping to get off the ground next year called Boulder and Fleet Adventures for Hire, and that I specifically want to have a softer dry brush kind of look to it. And for that, I do draw almost entirely analog. I only color in Photoshop, but all of the art is done on paper. The Captain Cat, former shark hunter, which you can find online, that was done on paper and then gray toned in Photoshop. So it depends on the project. It depends on the look that I want for the thing. If I want a crisp, super clean look like that big He-Man piece I did recently, yes, that was penciled on paper, inked in Manga Studio, colored in Photoshop. Sometimes I will pencil digitally as well because, as many of you know, I got that Galaxy Note 10.1 tablet, that Android tablet last year, and I've been using it as a digital sketchbook, and some of the sketches turn out pretty okay, and I just export those to my Box account, and then I will import them into Manga Studio and ink right off of those. Or, in the case of this one piece I did recently, Captain Falbo and the Bird Squadron, characters from the upcoming Boulder and Fleet comic, I penciled it digitally on the Galaxy Note, exported the pencils to PDF, printed them out non-photo blue onto Bristol, inked them on paper, then scanned it into Photoshop and colored it that way. So it was a weird, convoluted process, but the sketch I landed on that tablet was exactly what I wanted. So I decided, hey, why not use this as the pencils? So if drawing digitally, I use a combination of Manga Studio, Photoshop, sometimes penciling on the Note. If on the Android tablet, the Galaxy Note, what I use is an application called Papyrus. I've been calling it Papyrus for the longest time, but I guess it's pronounced Papyrus, which is a note-taking app, but it handles ink lines really well. And then I also use an application called Layer Paint, both $3 apps on Android. And if you have a tablet with pressure sensitivity like the Galaxy Note, oh my gosh, so much fun to draw with. I don't know if I'd be able to pull the stuff off that I do on that if I had like an iPad or some tablet without pressure sensitivity. But the iPad has been coming out with, or rather third parties have been coming out with different kinds of styluses or styli to that mimic pressure sensitivity through various means. So maybe you could pull it off on an iPad too. Okay, question number three. If you don't draw digital, what are you currently using to ink? This one was funny to think about because for many, many years, I was a staunch supporter of the Hunt's 102 Crow Quill, the dip pen, right? Those metal tips, like you see, like that mimics like the end of a crow feather or a feather quill pen, like you saw them use in the 1800s. What are they, like a buck per tip? You can get like a case of 12 from like dickblick.com or utrecht.com. And you put them in a little plastic holder. You use like an inkwell, like you use either Hunt's or Higgins Black Magic or Speedball Super Black ink. You dip the pen in, and the great thing about it is you get a really razor fine line, or if you add a little bit of pressure, the line thickens, so you can get really great line values with a single stroke. I've got a YouTube video showing me inking with the Hunt's 102 Crow Quill. Love that tool, but I haven't used it in a couple years now. If I'm inking, I'm either doing it digitally through Manga Studio, or I'm inking with the brush pen. And for that, I use the Pentel color brush pen, which is just a $7 pen with a changeable inkwell. You can like buy inkwell refills for it, but it's not refill. I don't feel right using that word because you pretty much take off the whole bottom half and just replace the whole bottom half with a new tube of ink. It's a pretty big brush. And then I also use the Pentel pocket brush pen. It's like a sister pen to the color brush pen. They're both just refillable brushes for inking. And what I love about them is when inking on Bristol, you can get these wonderful thick lines. You can get like razor fine lines just by applying different kinds of pressure. And if you dry the brush out a little bit, you know, I keep a little piece of test paper off to the side, a little piece of Bristol that I just like run the brush over a couple times. You can dry out that brush to get some really satisfying textured lines out of it. So dry brush effect. If you look at the Boulder and Fleet comic or the Cap and Cat comic, when you see like the way I do water or background effects, I'll use like a dry brush, or I'll even use a dry brush for like texture on things to give it like a little bit of a softer edge to it. There's a lot of character that you get out of those lines that I really enjoy. So as a matter of fact, the He-Man redesign series that I did on my blog at comicsaregreat.com/blog, all of the individual characters were inked with the brush pen and then colored in Photoshop. But I do still have a lot of fondness for the Hunt's 102 Crow Quill as well. Reason why, I mean, because like some people like to use felt tip pens like Microns or, I don't even know the names of some of the other ones. Sakura Micron is one of the big ones. And they're great. You get like a box of them and you get like, what, five different sizes in like the starter kit. You get like a 0.1, a 0.3, a 0.5, and a 0.8. And each pen gives you a different thickness of line. But I like to use a lot of line value in my work. I like to a lot of varying widths of lines. And with a fixed width felt tip pen, it's kind of harder. It's a little bit more work to create those line values. So like, I mean, you got like the arc on something, like let's say you've got like a dome on something. You want there to be a little bit of a thicker line at the top curvature of the dome or something. Or if you want to create a sense of distance with like thicker lines around the branches of these trees in the foreground. You can do that with a felt tip pen, but it's going to require a couple extra strokes, or you have to get like a wider variety of pens to do that. Whereas with a brush pen, it's just one tool and you get varying degrees of thicknesses just the way you do when you're using ink lines in Photoshop or Manga Studio, or with a Crow Quill. That's why I like those tools so much. It's an expediency thing. It's not having to switch tools as often. That's really some of the main reasons. It's not having to have a bucket full of pens that I have to constantly rifle through. But it's also the character of the lines. But I think that that's something you find just by playing around with these different things. I think it's a really good idea to play around with lots of different tools to see what you like, rather than say like, well, so-and-so artist uses this pen, so I have to use this pen too. Although that's an inroad, right? I mean, the reason I started using the Crow Quill in the first place was because I really admired the work of this artist named Matsutsuki Yamakami, who was doing work on the Lupin the Third comics. And there was something about his lines that was just gripping me. I couldn't figure out what it was, but I deduced that it was probably some kind of Crow Quill he was using. So I got one so I could learn how to do what he was doing. And it set me off into some really interesting investigations of line. So, as of, September 2013, that's what I've been using right now. A combination of all three for various different projects, depending on the project. They all have their advantages and disadvantages. And I think the best thing to do, if I were to give advice on this, is I would say play around with all of them and see which one feels natural to you, and then explore that for a while. And if you reach a dead end and it's not doing what you want, try something else. Case in point, for the longest time, when I first started making comics, even professionally, when I was doing work for Antarctic Press, my first published work, I was quote-unquote inking with pencil. And this was before I had a scanner, so I was mailing the pages in for them to scan and get photo ready. And I would take a soft lead, like a 2B, in a 0.9 millimeter mechanical pencil, and I would pencil in blue line, and then I would go in with that soft lead and thicken up and darken the lines with pencil and try to create an ink-like look with pencil. Why? Because I was terrified of using ink, because ink is permanent and you can't fix it as easily, where pencil was easier to fix. And after I penciled everything, I'd have to spray it with hairspray or with workable fixative in order to make sure that nothing smudged when I sent the pages in. And it wasn't until years later that I finally decided, you know, maybe I really should be using ink, since I'm trying to do ink-like effects with pencil. But, you know, you got to get there in your own way, I think. So there's some things to try and play with. And, hey, if you guys want to ask more questions like that for me to respond to on Thunder Punch Daily, I'd be glad to do it. This is a fun way to get me back into doing more of these mini audio essays. And I think, in answering this question, I got around to some kind of essay topic. So, yeah, I guess that's it for today. And again, once again, the show notes with links to everything that I talked about here will be at comicsaregreat.com/TPD150. So, who am I? Jersey Drozd, comicsaregreat.com, Jersey on Twitter, Jersey Drozd on Google+. Thanks so much for downloading and listening. The music for the show was made by my brother, Elliot Drozd of ElliotDrozd.com. The voiceover was by Tara Platt of TaraPlatt.com, wonderful voice actor. And the audio hosting was provided by Kablam, ka-blam.com. If you guys are listening to this, you probably want to make comics. You probably would like to self-publish some of your comics or find a publisher. But in any case, you want to make something and get it out there to people. And Kablam is an awesome service, a one-stop solution to getting your book made and getting it into a fulfillment center. You know, you can sell your books online, sell physical books, and you can sell digital books through their indieplanet.com online store and distribution service. So check them out. And thanks to Kablam for doing the hosting for the show. Okay, I will be back soon with another Thunder Punch Daily. And until then, remember, everybody.
Today we saw Professor Smolin find a great treasure. It wasn't gold or jewels, but something even more precious, knowledge. There are many places to find knowledge, and one of the easiest and best is a museum. Museums are storehouses of knowledge where you can see and learn all sorts of fascinating things. There's probably one close to you, so pay a visit. Remember, knowledge is power, and you can get the power.